Again, we do welcome you and hope that the time you spend today here is beneficial and useful to you. We have a number of activities going to take place later in our service today, and for that reason, I'm just going to hit the highlights of my sermon this morning and move very, very quickly and be done very, very quickly. In the late 1980s, my dad was retired, and they were having down at Camp Rock Creek in Norman day camp. And if you're not familiar with day camp, day camp was for like third through sixth grade. The kids went down there for the day, and they stayed all day and came home every night. They didn't stay down at the camp. So his job was to drive the school bus down. And if you've ever been that way, you know that you go down I-35, you get off, and the road you turn on takes you right by a cemetery. And there's actually a stop sign there, and you stop, and the cemetery is just right there to your right. My dad had some real issues related to death and dying. His mother died when he was 3 years old. He was raised by two unmarried aunts who didn't handle motherhood very well and used some things to instill fear that was not positive and useful over the long haul. But Dad was so afraid that one of the kids would say, "What's that, Mr. McElroy?" And he'd have to explain to them what a cemetery was. Well, late in the week, they're driving, drives up to the stop sign, and there's actually a graveside service taking place at the time. And all the little faces are over on the right side of the bus looking out the window, and my dad is just trembling, wondering, what's the question going to be? And a little voice from the back says, "Boy, I hope that's not Roy Rogers." And immediately it was all disarmed, you know. Dad could say, "No, Roy Rogers is fine, you know. I feel pretty sure, pretty confident about Roy Rogers. We'd have seen it in the newspaper if something was wrong with Roy Rogers." That whole thing was diffused. And I tried to tell him at the time, I said, "God's spirit is working there." And he was kind of hesitant about going that particular route. The reason I pointed out is we're talking about hope this morning. And hope emerges in the earliest part of our being. There are things that we hope for. You know, we hope to have ice cream for supper, you know, at the earliest of ages. We hope for success. We hope for this and that. If you get on the internet and look for stories of hope, you'll just see so many different places, from poverty and prodigal children, cancer awareness, just a plethora of things where people are looking and needing and searching for hope. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Hope is a critical part of what we do every day. It becomes a motivator for what we do each and every day. And really, if you start to draw things down to their absolute basics, you'll see that a lot of the choices that we make each and every day are based on the hope that we have. Is my hope vested in my job? Is my hope vested in my wealth? Then I make choices in that direction. If my hope is vested in my family, then I make those kind of choices. If my hope is in God's unfailing love, then I make choices based on that hope. Now, a lot of people say or feel like hope is almost synonymous with wish. But it's not. What is hope? Hope is confident expectation. I can hope that I'll win the lottery. That's just a wish. But I can have a confident expectation that something real is going to happen in my life. I've used before the example of, you know, your wife asks you what you want for Christmas and you say, "I want a Lamborghini." You don't stand in the driveway on Christmas Eve and wonder when the Lamborghini is coming. That's just a wish. But if you find a receipt in the trash can for a smoker from Bass Pro, then you figure out what you're going to get because there's some evidence there that kind of supports that. And that's what hope is. It's not just some fantasy. It's not just some outside opportunity. As it's used in the Bible, it's used as something that is real. It has true confidence. Now, the interesting thing about that, and I don't have time to share this with you this morning, but I will at another point in time. There is a growing understanding of hope in the psychological community. Research is showing that hope is about two things, agency and pathways. And Charles Snyder, the father of a recent development called hope theory, is understanding that it's not just something we have in our mind, it's something that we use to guide our lives. It's our pathway choices that are based on our hope. And hope rocks along fairly well until we hit those rough places. You know, when life is really, really tough. And then we say, what happened? Hope can be our driving force. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5 gives us more information about that circumstantial situation. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. A couple of things just jump out from that passage. One is that hope is developmental. It comes in stages. It grows across a timeline, and you develop certain things and do certain things that move you in that direction. And there are negatives here: suffering, perseverance, character. It leads us to the place where we have a real hope. Hope that drives our lives, because we've used it to navigate those difficult times that we experience in our lives. The second thing is hope as an anchor. You may remember a few years ago, there was a guy on a cruise ship that thought it would be funny to drop the anchor in the middle of the cruise. He did that. The ship was disabled for several hours. You may have noticed a couple years later, the guy went to jail for that. I looked at some videos. I wish I'd had time to show you one today, but there are accidents where the anchor gets away and causes tremendous kinds of damage. The anchor is absolutely critical. And we live in a time when people are desperately searching for an anchor. What can I anchor my life to? What is it that will give me the ground that I need to stand on to do whatever comes up in my life? And God says, I'll be your anchor. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It's what we tie to. It's what we hold on to. It's the thing that keeps us from being tossed to and fro. Instead, it gives us this tremendous power that's connected to us. Our daily lives are very much dependent on how we respond to hope, the choices that we make and the places that we go, and certainly the things that we do. 1 Peter chapter 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He lets us know how important hope is. You know, the big three are faith, hope, and love. And a lot of times we treat hope like it's kind of the little brother of the group. You know, we understand that love is critical. We know that faith is ultra important, and hope is like, yeah, you know, if you're feeling that way. But that's really not it. Love is something we're commanded to do to each other. Faith is a belief in God that we have to drive forward. And hope is really the energy system that causes us to work on a day-by-day basis. It's that hope moving toward that heavenly home that causes us to find those pathways to get there. I've been looking at some stuff lately on Focus on the Family, and I was reminded of the story of James Dobson and Pistol Pete Maravich. You may remember that on Maravich's 40th birthday, he did a radio show with James Dobson. Afterwards, Dobson and some of the guys from Focus on the Family wanted to go and play some basketball. So they went down to the basketball court. They're shooting, playing, having fun. And a couple of the people, all the people walk off except for Maravich and Dobson. And while they're standing there talking to each other, Maravich dies, just collapses and dies. And Dobson holds him in his arms as he dies. And he said when he got home that night that he was so overcome by the activities and by the events of that day that he walked right into his son's room and he just said, be there. On the resurrection morning, I will be looking for you. Be there. We knew that story for a long time in our family. And there was actually a couple of years in our family where whenever we left each other, we said, be there. What's important in life? To be there. It's important to us that the people we love be there. And that's the hope that drives us. That's the energy. That's the power. That's the motivation that causes us to make the choices on a daily basis because we want to be there. This morning, if you're not sure that you're going there, don't leave here with that confusion. If we can help you change what needs to be changed, we'd be glad to. If we can assist you in any way, let us know while we stand and sing together.